This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Box Office Breakdown. Information and commentary on weekly movie box office.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Box Office Breakdown. I'm your host, Sarah Stratton, and we have an injured host with us.
Yes, not me.
No, it's my voice.
It's my voice. It's your destroyed voice.
Well, that's like the primary muscle that we use in this show.
Yeah, I know.
That's a good point.
It is a weakness. I was going
to
use some other primary muscle yesterday at the baseball game, but I didn't.
I don't even want to know what that
means. And by the way, I'm only on my phone because I'm putting the number on our Facebook, letting people know what the new number is to call in, which is 424-256-1633. Sorry, I cut you off there.
You just really, really wanted to give that out to everyone, didn't you?
I mean, people are yelling at me, like, why can't I call in?
Yeah, we need people to call in. We need the boss Turner to call in.
Well, supposedly that is the number, so call us at the end of the show.
We lost. I'm just so angry right now. I'm going to be better in a little bit.
Are you ranting about something that, what?
Well, I mean, Friday night I went to the Met game, obviously, and, you know, we won. Which was great. And then Saturday, the dirtiest player in baseball takes our shortstop out and breaks his fibula.
Yeah, I saw that.
What a joke.
You were really mad on Twitter. He was like yelling through Twitter.
I think you just combined.
Fibula?
You said it very strange, I feel like, the first time.
My voice is busted.
Fibula? What did you say?
No, I said whatever.
I believe that's an island off Fiji.
Yeah, maybe it is. No, it's fibula.
I think you just sounded weird the first time you said it.
It really sounded
like you combined
tibula and fibula,
but that's not right.
Tibula and fibula.
Which one is it? One of them has an L in it, I think.
No, they both do.
Really?
Yeah, it's fibula.
If only my internet was working.
It's fibula. Either way, the guy's dirty, and wait till he gets to New York, he's gonna get roasted. This guy sucks. Either way, we lost. We won one. Look, it's a split. I'll take it. I'll take it. Whatever. I sat in a suite.
How do you feel? Do you feel like they're going to take the series?
Yeah, I think we're going to take 3 and 4.
How do you say the one that starts with a T?
See, fibula.
Yeah. It's tibula for the other one, but fibula is just a calf bone.
Yeah, see? It's a K broke his calf.
Okay.
Okay.
It sounded weird when you first said it.
What did you say? You said play tennis this week? You were playing tennis this week?
I didn't play tennis. I pretended to play tennis. I don't know how to play tennis, so I just
did you wear like one of those like Maria Sharapova outfits?
Those are good.
Yeah, if you would have wore that.
I don't know what that means.
Where the hell was I? I got to keep more tabs on your window.
I mean, listen, Mets are, you know, important thing in your life.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sleep.
He has
sleep.
The Mets, and JT and I have filmed.
Yes.
And we spent our time watching Steve Jobs.
Oh, I'm angry.
Steve Jobs. Again, only opened in New York and L.A. I was only playing in 2 theaters in L.A. I think the Landmark and the Arclight, I believe.
I think it had, what, 4 nationwide? It was.
Yeah, so maybe 2 in New York, 2 in L.A.
I think. And it made like a record amount per theater, more than any movie per theater this year so far.
Yeah.
Even more than American Sniper at the beginning of this year. Like,
really?
It's per theater numbers.
It ain't going to do $300 million box office.
Yeah, I agree with you that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, I saw it Friday afternoon. I ran into 2 people randomly. Joseph Scrimshaw, who actually does Jedi Alliance on Popcorn Talk. I saw him as I was walking in. Then minutes later, I saw this guy, Pat, who he's a camera guy that I went to Comic-Con with this year with Screen Junkies, and he was there with his fiance. Everyone was just going to see this movie.
I think I'm gonna one-up you on this one.
Oh, who'd you run into?
Steve.
It's not Steve Jobs.
Yeah, no, no.
I did go to the Q&A, so Aaron Sorkin and Kate Winslet and Seth Rogen and Jennifer.
Are you serious?
That's a shutdown.
Where was this happening?
That beats Joseph Scrimshaw.
Yeah, no,
sorry.
Joseph Scrimshaw. Why didn't you tell me? I would have loved to go on to that.
I was invited.
Sorry. I was going to say, I heard nothing about that.
Oh, Roxy has a little message for you up there.
Sarah, you're like so pretty, Roxy.
We are here in studio while Roxy is also simultaneously in studio, and I feel like I have so much moral support.
Get her in here. Tell her to come in.
I'm not alone with the two of you. Like, she's out there. I can run for help.
Me and Finstock are sitting here, you know, looking pretty good.
Yeah, really.
She just goes right to Sarah.
Roxy told me that yesterday.
Oh, she did?
Personally, yeah.
Have we convinced you to see Steve Jobs?
Wait, Roxy just wrote, JTE and Finstock are super sexy.
Yes.
All capital
AKA,
super.
You guys are
no,
okay,
what are you doing?
Too.
They can't see what's being written there.
Now it says, Finstock, take your shirt off. No, Roxy, I'm not doing that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Anyway, so we have jumped on the Steve Jobs bandwagon,
absolutely
which
loved
I think
it.
Will start happening. If you guys want to know,
4.8.
I almost gave it a 5. I think the very
Jesus, that's
one
big.
Of the loose ends that was like tied up at the very end felt a little too cookie cutter,
okay.
And I don't feel like it really happened. And a lot of these things, this movie,
it
really
actually
happened.
Supposedly did.
Really?
Yes.
Steve Wozniak was on this movie. He consulted on the whole thing.
I think, yes. Supposedly. Sorry, really? Spoilers.
Yeah, don't, be vague without spoiling it. So you're saying that situation happened
that,
pretty
the relationship
to that.
Where it stands towards the end of the movie is how their relationship progressed before the end of his
life. I believe that. I totally believe that. It's just the way it happened at the very end of the movie. I can't explain it.
I'll talk to you more
we'll talk more about the movie.
We wrap this up.
Still, Fassbender, Best Picture nomination. I'll be very surprised it doesn't get Best Pick nom. And I think Danny Boyle's best film since probably Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, yeah.
Best
Danny
screenplay.
Boyle was
best
there
screenplay too.
Saying.
Oh yeah.
So Fassbender is better than Ashton Kutcher is. I could
throwing
I should say, sorry.
It in there. The actual numbers per theater average of $130,000. So in four theaters, this movie brought in $521,000. So really, really good job. Yes, people are definitely looking at this as a Oscar contender. For me, I didn't leave as much emotionally impacted, but I did feel intellectually invigorated. And I think the package they created in this film, like every component was really well done. And it's like just a very well-made movie.
Well, just real quick, it's not a regular structured biopic. It takes place in 3 days.
Yes.
1988, I think 1989.
Are you spoiling too much? I don't know if
no,
we can talk about this yet.
It's
a technical
three
thing.
Years?
3 days and three different years. Like
okay.
And it's basically right before he gives a big speech at three different conventions.
It's the launches.
Yeah, the launches. Yes.
It's, it's three different launches.
Yep.
And basically shit hits the fan before every launch.
And one thing I love technically is Danny Boyle, the first decade, is shot in 16mm.
Mm-hmm.
Second take, 35mm. Mm-hmm. And then the final take, digital. Yeah. Which is just like, if you're a film
person,
you're
very,
like,
it's just like a very well-made movie. Like, you go away and you're just like, wow. Yeah. Everyone who worked on this did an impeccable job. Mm-hmm. Like, in every category. Mm-hmm. I didn't walk away being like, really emotionally impacted.
I don't think.
I looked at a project as like, wow,
well, that's
this
because
is
your computer was busted. And that's by Steve Jobs.
Because I'm having some Apple issues currently.
Bring
and
it
it's
in
just
there,
really impacting me. I also saw The Martian, so let's get into the actual
numbers. Yeah, let's get to
numbers.
Wow, it's been a while.
I gotta see Jobs, I guess.
Yeah, you do. You'll like it.
It will be soon. We will be talking about it more because it will be breaking into our list next week. But as of now, the list stands with Sicario taking the number 5 spot, dropping 39%, and going up to The Intern, dropping 26%. Let me see where the actual numbers went, because I can't read them on this. Sicario, $7 million. $7 million. The Intern bringing in $8.6 million. Then we get the horrible numbers from Pan.
We're going to talk about
Pan,
this.
Didn't take the first spot. Didn't take the second spot.
Nope.
Came in at the third spot. This is a movie with a $150 budget, not including advertising, and it brought in $15.5 million.
Oh, boy.
That, I don't even think, that doesn't even cover cast.
I said last week, I think it was a piece of junk. And of course it's a piece of junk.
Okay. Well, obviously everyone actually agreed. Like, this was not a movie that had to prove that it was junk. People just didn't want to see it.
Yeah, it, you know, listen, when you get panned like that, no pun.
They'll steal my tweet.
Yeah, you know, right out there, right after that, you know, it's 22% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. And just apparently Warner Brothers played like a 10-minute clip. I think it was at one of the Comic-Cons or something along those lines. And everybody was like, this is a disaster.
Well, they had to change the date. This was not supposed to be released this month. No, yeah, they had to go back and do reshoots. And they pushed the date back. And now we have this movie. And guess what? It's still... Reshoots didn't save it. Nope. Moving up to number two,
they should have put a hologram of Michael Jackson. Hotel made $100 million.
Hotel Transylvania bringing in $20 million, dropping 38%, and The Martian doing even better than a 38% drop with only a 31.9% drop, bringing in $37 million.
Mm-hmm.
This is crazy because you look at it, and we normally predict a movie's going to drop at least around
50%. That's
where you get. And this weekend, our highest drop in the top five was Sicario with 39.5%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything held strong.
The lowest, The Intern at 25.9% in our top five. Like, those are really small drops.
Yeah.
Those that's a really good third week drop for The Intern. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the Nancy Meyers stuff. But Hotel Transylvania is really surprising. That's a lot of money this is the third week as well?
For sequels, it's third week.
Yep.
It's a lot of money.
It was one of the strongest openings we've seen in October. It's opening week.
I had Martian at around 35, so I was not too far off. I underestimated it, actually.
I would tell you if you were the winners or not, but...
Yeah, well, there's a...
Dylan Esposito.
Yeah.
Esposito.
He might be... You know what? He's in Houston. I think he is, right? He's probably watching the playoff. He lives in Houston, doesn't he? Or like Austin, Texas or something?
No, I think it's Texas somewhere.
Well, they got a lot of playoffs going on, and maybe he's busy. Like I said, he was tobogganing with those chicks. Maybe he's getting, you know...
He's done a good job. We'll let him slide.
Are we going to let him slide?
I think I'll let him slide.
You don't feel like really like he just ditched us and fell off the planet and stabbed you in the heart?
You were totally wrong. Me and JT went 3 for 5. Yeah. I just don't remember what I put for Pan. I think it was 26. Yeah, and I think JT said really 28.
I don't know.
No, what you might have under me. I'm not
no
sure.
No winner.
We're going to get a winner.
No, well, we don't
He'll tweet it. He'll tweet it.
Yeah, well, Dylan Esposito.
He's going to call in. Hopefully. Yeah.
Call in. Give me some winners, please.
So let's talk a little more about Pan. Why do you guys think it bombed so bad? Like, I blame it a little bit on the trailers. I think that you watch a trailer for this. I didn't know it was Pan until like the very last few minutes, and nothing about it looked like Pan. I mentioned this last week.
You're 100% right. It could have been called Pirate Ship, and it would have been the same thing.
It probably would have been better.
I just look at it, and over the track of how this movie's been put out, I felt like they were trying to increase like the excitement that they're kind of getting for Jungle Book. Like, they were trying to show this reimagining, beautiful worlds. Like, the colors and how Cinderella was filmed earlier this year was really pleasing to look at. I felt like they were trying to kind of just expand in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But for Jungle Book and for the upcoming Beauty and the Beast, there's so much positive reinforcement.
Mm.
For this, I just feel like everything I've heard along the way, every stepping stone, has been negative. Mm-hmm. And normally Disney comes out and really markets against that and plays a strong foot and shows why you should see it. And I just don't think they came out and battled for this film.
No, well,
whether it was
Warner Brothers
reshoots or the controversy over Tiger Lily being portrayed. Mm-hmm. Like, all of that, they didn't stand
Those are small things. This movie was terrible from the get-go.
There's
small
things.
Apparently the director was locking the studio out of like the editing rooms. There's a lot of drama.
But that's my point, is that Disney has so much power. They normally are able to spin
is
things.
Is Disney behind
no,
us?
No, Warner Brothers.
Is really?
Yeah, it's just Warner Brothers.
It's not
yes.
Disney.
No, Disney.
If it was, that's why I was
that's what I
Disney.
Said earlier. I said Warner Brothers. This
I,
thing, if this
I was
was
like,
Disney,
thank
this,
you for correcting me. I totally thought this was
no,
Disney.
No, this is not Disney.
You know what? No, it's Disney just, doesn't tank movies.
That's what I was like, what's happening?
Listen,
I was like, why is no one defending this film? Like, where has the marketing been?
If it was Disney, it would open up to 60 and they would have had a better... And
Johnny
Depp would
have been in it.
Right, they would do something right. Warner Brothers are jumping off the bandwagon or trying to jump on like the train that's already passed of Alice in Wonderland and Oz, whatever, the one with James Franco.
Great and Powerful.
Oz is Great and Powerful, yeah.
This is a perfect
Maleficent,
example.
Maleficent, the Angelina Jolie, which made a lot of money.
That made a lot of money. That would be like $70 million.
Correct. This is a perfect example of hopping on the train too late. The train has already passed. They tried to
But the
to
train
do something.
Hasn't passed.
Yeah, because you
like,
got
you
Beauty
have
and the Beast
Beauty
coming
and the Beast
out.
And you have Jungle Book
but,
coming
yeah,
out.
But those things will do well.
And those things are
and Cinderella was this year.
What was the last great Peter Pan movie you saw?
Hook.
Okay, and a lot of people argue that's not a great Peter Pan movie.
Don't argue that with me.
I'm not going to argue that with you because I like Hook also. But Beauty and the Beast is like a beloved film, even Jungle Book to a degree.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Pan, like, if you're going to make a Pan movie, make it the most Pan movie you can. Don't make it look like some, I don't know what the hell it looked like. It looked horrible. And then your number one, the only A-list actor you have is Hugh Jackman, who's not really known for kid movies, and he looks nothing like Hugh Jackman.
No, not at all.
When did they release the musical version
on
TV?
Oh, yeah, that was last year. Brian Williams' daughter.
Was it technically last year or was it technically this year?
It was Christopher Walken, too.
And he got destroyed for it.
It was terrible. I destroyed it on the show about a year ago.
Yeah.
It's the worst. I hate Peter Pan. I hate everything that goes along with Peter Pan. I said it before.
See, I like Hook, like you were saying, because it has a different approach to it.
I also liked Finding Neverland.
Yeah, but that's not really about Peter Pan. It's about the book Peter Pan.
Yeah. The guy's
it's Peter not Pan really sucks. About Peter Still, Pan. It's about the book Peter Pan.
But you know, it's kind of like how Saving Mr. Banks was about Mrs. Mary Poppins or whatever.
Right, of course.
It's based on the story of the making of the blah blah blah.
This movie's
anyway,
terrible.
I totally thought this movie was Disney.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I thought that?
Well, no, Disney doesn't put
I don't
out junk.
Know. Just in my head, that's what
but
it was.
When you got Hotel Transylvania, which is a kids movie, and outperforming your $150 million budget film, that's pretty sad.
Absolutely.
Warner Brothers heads are rolling over there right now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, they got the
they
intern.
They have the intern. The intern's gotten... It's holding on pretty tight.
And
yeah,
Black Mask.
That's
Black
true.
Black Mask is a little bit of a failure.
They'll
can't
be,
wait to get that Harry Potter movie back
kay.
Out
All right. Well, moving a little bit on, we should talk... I mean, I think we've covered The Martian a
yeah,
bit,
I mean,
but we could talk about more about it.
I think
over
it's
100 million.
It's a feel-good film. You know, a lot of movies these days aren't like that feel-good film like Rocky was in 1976.
Nothing's a feel-good as much as Rocky was.
Yeah, but this is a really good, like, it's a family I could recommend to anybody in my family. Like, I don't care, like, if you're in a drama, action, or it's just a movie anyone could go see and enjoy, and it is PG-13, and it's like, is it PG? No, it's PG-13. But
yeah.
It's a soft PG-13. It's not like people dying. It's very much just an uplifting story, and I feel like some of those movies have come out very rarely. That's not trying to shove it down your throat like The Blind Side.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I think it is. It's really hitting every market. On top of that, the sense of humor they brought to it is engaging for almost everyone. They do have the beautiful pictures. The cinematography on it is great.
And Damon's fantastic in it.
Yeah.
Some good movies to see right now in theaters. If you aren't out there watching, like The Martian is, go watch it. It's also easily rewatchable.
Yeah,
Sicario, Steve Jobs. I haven't watched The Intern yet, but I've heard it's good.
I'm happy The Visit's still in the top 10.
Yeah, and I also gotta say, there's really something for everybody in the theater right now.
There is.
There's the intern, Nancy Myers crew. You got kids' movies, you got Pan and Hotel.
But don't
see Pan. No one's gonna see Pan. Martian is basically for anybody. Sicario's for if you want that art house kind of, you know, dark, somber movie. I mean, and then they got Black Mass, Everest.
They basically hit every
and I think that's why you saw such small percentages going down, because everyone was all spread out.
Absolutely.
Well, before we move on to international numbers, a little bit about, we should also mention The Walk.
Yeah, ooh, that did not do good.
Going up 133% in theaters, adding 2,000 theaters, it only brought in another 3.6 million.
It's basically,
that's like even with what it did in its IMAX.
I think it's like 6
it's
million
the
overall.
Same thing as the documentary. It's the same movie.
But people don't go to the movies to see documentaries.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, unless it's something that's really big and different, that's shaking, you know.
I wonder why Zemeckis chose this.
I'm curious if it's just because, like, is it something, the two towers were used prominently in it because it takes place there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe just the premise alone just didn't excite people. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's accent maybe threw people off in the trailers.
I'm trying to think, like, what do you think is the target audience for this film? Besides the fact that I think that they put out this movie to try and get some technical Oscars.
Trapeze artist, contortionist.
Small percentage people.
Okay, so that is what?
Circus
prevention. 0.003%? Who do you feel
like
they've drawn into this movie?
I don't know. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt is not like an A-list draw.
No.
He's that people, like, you know, a lot of people who are liking the film know him. But
he's good when he is.
He can't really leave the movie.
He's a film sweetheart, though.
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
But I mean, Robert Zemeckis kind of is too. I don't know. I just think this movie didn't really reach any certain demographic that you're saying. I don't think.
Yeah.
But this is
and
the problem.
Also,
like,
I saw the movie.
Stumped.
It's not that great.
We're
it's
all stumped
decent.
On this. But I really do think they were like, well, we can make this sound and look mm-hmm. beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't decide who they were trying to sell it to.
I agree with that.
The promotion.
Tough sell.
Like, where you put the promotion? I think my company had a chance to invest in this movie and declined on it. I mean,
smart move.
This is one of the only smart moves.
they walked away from it.
Yeah, they walked away from it, and because they were like, "Oh, Joseph Zemeckis came in and he left the sandwich. I ate half the turkey sandwich that one time."
I'm not saying that this looks like a bad movie. Like, I was interested in seeing The Walk, but there's a reason that I haven't seen it, and other things are coming first.
It's just more exciting.
Yes, because they're more exciting. They are pulling more people in, mm-hmm. and it's easier. A lot of the movies that they have right now, it's really easy to find someone to go with you to see Sicario or The Martian or Steve Jobs. I want to see The Walk, but getting people to go see that over seeing those movies or re-seeing those movies, it's not
I guarantee
really
you go on Twitter and be like, hey, anybody want to come to The Walk? All 1,000 followers who are all males except for Roxy will be like, yes, where and when can I go?
I go to movies alone a lot.
It's very true.
All right, let's get into some international numbers. Foreign audiences also weren't enchanted by Pan. Mm-hmm. The big budget fantasy crashed to the earth this weekend, earning a drab $20.5 million overseas.
That's terrible over there.
Yeah. And that's in 52 markets.
Jesus.
So that's over 40% of the international market base, and that's probably meaning bad news for Warner Brothers. Yes, Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Warner Brothers. I obviously don't have my head screwed on right today. As we've said, it's $150 million just production. Supposedly there's another $100 million or so in advertising.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It needs to make $400 million to break even?
It needs, no, to turn a profit.
Ugh.
It needs to make at least $400 million.
Good luck
dollars.
With that. So far?
So far we've got 40.
Wow.
My office is at Warner Brothers might be gone after this. Not that I work for them. They just be like, this guy uses office? Like, nah, he's gone.
Yeah, so sad.
Wow.
News.
Not looking good.
Mm-hmm. The most important test for the film will be China, where it opens October 22nd. So there is some hope there.
No, look. No. The Chinese out. They're out. I talked to
them.
They
are. They do have a lot going on that they've produced right now. So I think they're pretty, pretty happy. They're not looking for Pan at the moment.
They brought back Rufio. They might have had a chance.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Totally. That's all they needed to do. Or Michael.
I mean, but it's worth noting, China's in. China did help movies like Terminator Genesis this year. So there could be some hope.
Yeah.
All right. Fox's The Martian topped foreign charts for the second consecutive weekend. So number one here, number one there, earning $58.1 million.
What a hit.
That's from 12,795 screens, in case you were wondering.
Good for Ridley Scott, man.
74.
He needed it.
Ridley Scott needed a hit. Mm-hmm. I'm glad he hit. Now he's making more Alien movies. His next movie's called Alien Paradise Lost.
Yeah.
I tried to watch Exodus.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's not that great.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Well, Ridley's a nice guy.
Well, the two things he's really good at is like period pieces and space movies. So The Martian.
I had hope.
Yeah, let's just stick with space for now. I think he knows where
he's EP at. And EP and Blade Runner next year, so we'll see.
Is he really executive producing? That's true. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's his movie.
He was in the
All right.
Today.
So second place behind The Martian in the international market went to Goodbye, Mr. Loser.
Wow, climb the charts.
A time travel comedy. It's been dominating China's box office. The film made $32 million, so it's bringing its total receipts after 2 weeks to $132.3 million.
Here's the deal. Mr. Winner.
Here's the deal. Yes.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Mr. Loser. Yeah, he's going to have it's going to be very interesting stuff. Either way, when you dominate the Chinese box office, you're doing something right, because those guys are spending a ton of money.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a Chinese movie.
Yeah, of course. Goodbye, Mr. Loser. I wonder what the...
We've already talked about it. We're not going back. I'm moving on. The third and fourth slot in the international market went to Hotel Transylvania 2. And if we hadn't heard about it for a while, Inside Out.
Yes.
And then Pan did nab the fifth spot. So Hotel Transylvania picked up $22.7 million. Global Hall now $207.7 million.
Very good.
And it should have no problem catching the $358 million that the first film made in 2012.
Yeah, good for Adam Sandler, I guess. I mean,
he was at a Dodger game yesterday.
You know, some people really? Need. Yeah. I mean, some people yeah. need things.
Some people need things. I mean, he hasn't had a hit in like so long with his live action. He needs to maybe just start sticking with animated
or just real life stuff.
Also,
yeah,
animated sounds like a great track to go in your pajamas.
Yeah. He's always been good at voices too. Like even with his cassettes back in the day.
Yeah, they were good.
So maybe it's a good way to go.
He's an idiot.
So that is what's going on. Let's get into our game for the week.
Let's do it.
Break out the Rosetta Stone, because it's time for the international title game.
Why are you crying?
That was some of the executives at Warner Brothers praying to keep their job.
And Met fans that they broke their shortstop's leg.
Yeah. Please, I didn't
know Pan was going to be that bad. I don't know how to play this game. I have lost confidence in myself after thinking Pan was going to
Yeah, because I flipped the script. I changed everything up.
All right.
The moisturizer.
That's not why.
Yeah, I used the moisturizer.
That has nothing to do with anything.
I shaved my unibrow, too, so... You know, anyway.
All right, let's go.
That being said, we're going to go with Michael Fassbender here.
Yes.
Oh, I love
Michael. Oscar nominated for sure.
Did you see the movie Shame?
No.
Yes.
George Clooney seen it. All right, anyway.
I don't know.
That being said, Shame is when he did full frontal nudity.
Yeah, he plays
Michael Fassbender. You should probably check it out.
He's a sex addict.
Remember when it was going around that he had
noted.
Remember when it was going around that, you know.
No.
All right.
Okay, you don't know.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Clooney doing his Oscar speech was like, hey, you know, I'm not Fassbender here. You know, meaning like...
Because he saw his thing.
Okay.
Yeah, he saw his apparatus. Yeah. Either way, anything. Shame is called...
I like how your voice gets so much lower and talk about these things.
Yeah, I don't like to talk about dudes' anatomies.
Okay.
I start yelling when I'm talking about girls' breasts and stuff like that, of course.
Okay, please continue with your game.
Somebody's, you know, yada, yada, yada. Shame. The Shame. Michael Fassbender.
Yes, we've now been over
full
this.
Frontal nudity.
Mm-hmm.
And the black chick.
I like how the whole plot gone away to talk just about that.
Male sex addiction.
Okay, very straightforward. Okay. Very straightforward.
Very, very straightforward. Blood Creek.
Okay.
Oh, that's one of his first movies.
Yeah. Ghost People Howl.
Okay.
Ghost People Howl.
It is a horror film.
Yeah.
Okay.
Haywire.
Oh, yeah, he's a small part now, yep.
Anti-Insanity.
Okay.
Okay. Inglourious Basterds.
Love it. It's so good.
Special Villain.
That's it? Special Villain Squad or anything?
Special Villain.
Can you say them all again?
Yeah, do them all one more time.
Shame.
She's reading it.
Full Frontal Nudity by a Male. No, it's Shame.
Yeah.
Male Sex Addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost, or... Blood Creek, Ghost People Howl, like, you know, howl like a wolf.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Haywire, Anti-Insanity, Inglourious Basterds, Special Villain.
I got mine.
Okay.
I was trying to really read deep.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Into your...
You can do it. Psyche.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Blue and orange eyes.
I was going to say soul, but that didn't feel right to say. So,
I don't have
I'm going with Ghost People Howl is false.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, I'm going to go with...
You can't look at his paper.
I didn't
bold anything.
There's no answers there. I'm just trying to decide which one. I want to say Glorious Bastards, or I'm just going to say Shame. Male sex addiction. That sounds too much on the point.
Engineer, please.
Sorry, guys. I stepped away, so I didn't hear the title. Sorry.
Oh, wow. Jesus Christmas.
I do love you. I'm sorry.
I mean, where were you?
Yeah, what were you doing?
Parking cars outside?
Yes, that's exactly what I was doing. I was trying to go figure out if I can find someone else who also has blue and orange eyes.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's very hard to find.
Yes, and I couldn't do it, so I came hard. Back.
Okay. Okay, you know what? You made up for yourself.
Thank you.
All right, that's good enough.
All right, so who won here? Did one of us win, first of all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Sarah won. I don't know.
Ah, damn it.
It's not Ghost People Howl.
I have
it's Ghost something.
Powers. I have powers.
You know what you... Oh, wait. You know what you won?
What?
Dinner at my house to watch Shame. On DVD.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow, that's the win. That's a pretty good one.
That's a great win.
Okay, yeah. Fine. Fine. I'm impressed with my psychic abilities.
Very well.
Well done.
All right. Let's talk about some upcoming. Oh, wait. Where'd my list go?
We're doing a top five grossing films. All right,
but mine are empty. Yeah. So
I have it.
Someone else has my notes.
Yes. Yep, there
no
it is.
No internet's working. No winners today. I think Disney's in charge of everything. And there's my list. Here we go.
Who are you doing today?
Mr. Danny Boyle.
Oh, nice. Well, I think I know who
I saw yesterday.
Oh, that's right. Keep forgetting.
Hold on real quick.
What?
Just gotta.
What's happening?
Well, I'm going to give her this because...
You know we're in the middle of a show, right?
Well, the rest of my notes are on here.
Thank you for ripping.
Do you want to hear my knowledge for stuff?
My piece of paper. Starting with number five, 127 yes. Hours, brought in, adjusted $19 million. I would have guessed it would be a lot more than that.
Yeah, Franco was nominated for Best Actor for
that.
Yeah.
You know, and that was like the James, started like the James Franco, like, James Franco.
Yeah, that's true.
Shia LaBeouf wanted to do this, and he offered even to cut off his real arm to do it. He was like, "I'm going to cut off my arm."
He got arrested again. Yeah,
he did get arrested.
Apparently, somebody was in his face, and he kept just yelling in front of the guy. He's like, "I'll punch you," and the guy and Shia would kept going, "Just do it, just do it." Like he said, like a zillion times in a row. And the cops are like, "We got."
I don't
want to
talk about him. I'd rather talk about 127 hours, which is. I feel like this number is wrong, but according to my adjusted numbers, brought in $19 million.
According to the ripped piece of paper. My bad. I've been busy all week.
I loved the movie. I thought Franco was great. I think Danny Boyle, again, he brings something as simple as somebody being stuck in between a rock for a whole movie. You're like, how's he going
to
make it interesting?
A lot of shots still stay in my head from this movie. Yes. It's very easy to repicture. Like the crevice he put in when you saw the bird fly over, like the bike riding, like a lot of his settings really just have stayed fresh in my mind from that movie.
Well, what the guy did, I mean, he actually documented this himself and they actually shot some of the movie on the same camera that he used.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of really cool
stuff.
I'm not
surprised with that, though.
Yeah. Imagine sitting there cutting your arm off. It took him an hour to cut his arm off.
I don't know if I could do it, man.
I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, but if you want to live, your instincts take over. Yeah. Like, something happens where you're like, you know what? Fuck my arm. I'm done with it.
If it's depends if it's post or pre-Creed.
That's true.
Because if it was like October and Creed's coming out in a month, that thing's off within the first hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Taking no chances.
Yeah, no.
If it's after Creed, I might be okay to go.
I would have pulled a RZA and then chewed my arm off.
All right. Also on the list, taking the number four spot is Trainspotting, bringing in $31 million adjusted back from '96.
Huge hit for him. This is breakout, really.
This was his breakout movie.
Yeah, Ewan McGregor, All Star. Then was like all-star cast of like English actors.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie. I didn't love it when I first saw it. I think I saw it too young. It's about drug addiction and stuff, and like there's some messed up stuff.
It's very mature. It's a very mature movie. Like people, if you're not in that mindset, you're not going
to
get it.
And I haven't revisited it in a while. I need to revisit it. And they're even talking about doing a sequel soon.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, and also like Ewan McGregor, also was saying he was open to really injecting heroin during a movie.
No way.
I'm really? Dead serious. No, I'm dead serious. But they were like, I don't think you should do that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really what
it's
you
going
think.
Going a little
you
too
know.
Far.
Yeah.
All right, number
that's
three.
That's a little buff.
Number three on the list goes to The Beach, bringing $61 million adjusted from 2000.
This was coming off that Leo heat, that Leo Titanic heat.
You know what he did? He signed on to this movie, and then he blew up.
Yeah, because this was his first film after Titanic.
Right, and they tried to hold it back because they're like, listen, this guy's so hot right now, we've got to put him in bigger movies and not this. I think it was delayed about 2 years.
Oh, was it really?
Huh. Yeah.
So was it made before Titanic? That. No, it was made after Titanic.
No, I'm not too sure about that. You know what?
Maybe because The Man in the Iron Mask, I believe, came out right after Titanic, and that was held because they knew Titanic was coming out.
They both, yes, exactly.
So that was really his second film, but like the real... everyone was like, this is the first film he's made after he finished Titanic.
You're probably right.
And here's the thing. I saw it in theaters. I didn't hate the movie. I thought it was...
No,
it had its merits.
It was beautifully shot.
Yes.
I was on that beach, the same beach.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the mountains were CGI'd in there.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, coming up to one of my favorite movies, actually, on this list, 28 Days Later.
Yes, this started the running zombies.
62.7 million.
Walking Dead has this, too.
But specifically, it's the running zombies that really, yep. this really, mm-hmm. I mean, Dawn of the Dead kind of is what broke out hit also after mm-hmm. this. It was after this movie. Cause they're not really zombies. They're infected people who yep. just have like these rage cause they got bit by a monkey. It's always, they always come from a monkey.
You know, I don't know why.
I don't know why.
Monkeys always get a bad rap.
Monkeys are not that bad.
Why don't we start giving the, you know, the dirty animals, you know, what do you even do?
They do throw their own poop.
They do.
That's not what it's about. It's about their DNA being like, close, right? They're like testing.
No. Yeah, well, that's true, but
well, the movie Outbreak was a monkey.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Some people say HIV came from monkeys.
We're not getting
the original
into this.
Script for Titanic. They hit a monkey, not an iceberg.
That's true. They hit two monkeys.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Did you think people were going to believe you?
You know what?
Did you think people were going to believe you on that one?
I'd watch that movie.
I would too. It was
a monkey.
No, originally
straight ahead.
No,
thank you.
Originally,
I was like, I don't need to respond to that, do I? Because
the real story was the guy who was shipping Titanic trained his pet monkey to take the control so he could
don't
take
try and don't try another one. Don't try another one.
Michael Jackson had a monkey.
Anyway, number
one. I don't
want
to tell you the monkey story.
Number one goes to Slumdog Millionaire.
Which I knew had number one.
$165 million.
I'm
going to
go out on a limb. Not even on a limb. This is how I feel about this movie. I think it's one of the most overrated best pictures of all time.
Oh, wow. What should have won that year?
I thought Milk was better.
Oh, Milk was good. Sean Penn was great.
He was fantastic. And
he won Best Actor, though.
He did.
So he did get Best
Actor. But it was a better picture, in my opinion.
That's tough.
I just didn't like the whole... I don't know.
Do you
the
just
musical
not
numbers.
Like joy?
No, I do.
This was like The Martian of that time. Now The Martian is like a feel-good movie that we'll go see. Slumdog was a very feel-good movie.
That's what I'm saying. Is he not like joy?
I even thought Dark Knight was better.
Oh, is this the year Dark Knight came out?
Yeah, it was like 2009.
Damn, that's tough to argue. Here's the thing. It's but you got to remember what we're looking at here. We're looking at the Academy. And the Academy was never going to give Dark Knight the Oscar.
They should have.
They go for a certain kind of movie. This was through Miramax.
Of course.
And it is a really good movie. I still love this movie, and I think it's really well made. I have to look at the list of best pictures. Again, I agree Milk had a chance.
It's up there with Shakespeare in Love, Crash, The English Patient.
No, it's not that high. Come on. It's not that bad.
Crash is the worst.
Crash is probably... No, Shakespeare in Love is worse.
Yeah, because Saving Private Ryan.
I love Shakespeare in Love.
Okay. Most girls do.
I also That's love Saving Private Ryan.
The only reason why Shakespeare in Love is because Gwyneth Paltrow was...
Topless.
No.
Oh,
not
sorry.
Just that.
I apologize.
She was helping a lot of people around town.
That's rude.
That's horrible.
That's true, though.
I didn't mean to say what I just said.
Okay,
Finstock
no more
is a bad influence on
me. No more stories from you. We're going into upcoming
number
films.
Number one, Slumdog Millionaire. I liked it. It was a good movie.
Great.
It's overrated.
Upcoming
also,
films.
Best pick nom for
talking about Crimson Peak.
Steve Jobs.
No, it says Crimson Peak.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
That's what it says. Yes. Upcoming films, Crimson
Del Toro.
Peak.
That's right. All right. Crimson Peak, guys, are you excited for this?
No.
No.
Everyone else is excited for this. I'm not excited for it.
Del Toro said it's his favorite movie ever that he's ever done.
Pan's Labyrinth is my favorite movie of his, and this looks like in the vein of that movie in some ways.
Yeah.
Especially with the creep factor. People are complaining there's a little too much CGI with the ghost and everything, but I understand
it. Yeah, he's so good at that.
Yeah, and I think it's going to... He says... He wrote on Twitter, this is not a horror film. This is a romantic
film. No, this is a horror film.
No, Del Toro's exact words is, this is not a horror film. This is a gothic romantic film.
I disagree with him.
Disagree with Del Toro.
No.
I've watched the trailers, and I, like, get scared making it a horror film. If I am scared of the trailers, I classify it as horror. Okay.
I mean, he's coming off Pacific Rim, right?
Yes, which, I mean, again, I don't think he was trying to make anything like this with that. I think that he made exactly what he wanted to do, was just a big, dumb action movies of robots and monsters.
Cumberbatch was supposed to play the role.
Who?
The lead role of Tom...
Hiddleston?
Yeah.
They're almost interchangeable to me. It's good.
They are very close.
Somebody seen it already?
I went to an early screening.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was awesome.
I'm sorry. Can you answer this? Is it a horror film?
Yes. I was actually very scared. But I still enjoyed it, though.
Yeah, I'm not saying it wouldn't be enjoyable. It looks enjoyable if you like that genre. But it is a horror film, and I'm a scaredy cat.
Yeah, no.
I'm probably not going to see it.
Typical jump scares, stuff like that. Other than that, I thought it was really good. I was entertained the whole way.
Did the CGI bother you at all?
No, I didn't even think about it until after someone mentioned it.
Was it this love story that Del Toro's claiming it is?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I think we're right on all counts here.
Yeah. Well,
I'm glad to hear it's good because I love Del Toro. I think Pan's Labyrinth was one of my favorite films the year it came out. And I think this is his wheelhouse. He started with a movie called The Devil's Bones, which was a great little indie suspense thriller. And like he did movies like Mimic, which I really dug. So I'm really excited to see him go back to this kind of territory.
You know what this is for me?
What?
An ass with a P in front of it. Pass.
Well, one that I will be passing on way quicker than Crimson Peak. I don't know what the jokes are on the side of the table. There's like horrible humor.
Oh, wait. Here we go. We got another horror movie.
No, this is called Trash, a.k.a. Goosebumps.
But it's based on a horror book, so would it be a horror movie, according to you?
It's live action, isn't it? What is it?
I'm not...
It is live action.
Yeah.
It's live action. CG. It looks awful.
Yeah, well, this weekend, if you want a horror film, go see Crimson Peak and let your kids go see Goosebumps. It does look horrible.
I'm sorry, yeah, I disagree.
Yeah, but Goosebumps is huge on the book circuit,
oh, yeah.
Isn't it?
R.L. Stein?
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up reading Goosebumps.
Oh, me too.
Did you
loved
really?
The, yeah.
Huh. Everybody did. Yeah. Oh, wait, you didn't read Goosebumps as a kid?
You didn't read that?
I was too busy doing other stuff.
Okay. He was reading Hustler and Playboy.
Yeah.
We definitely read some Goosebumps.
Yeah.
This movie, in my opinion, just looks over the top,
doesn't
cheesy.
It's like
not
Jumanji,
believable.
But with like crappy mm-hmm. horror characters.
And sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, people, I've talked to a few people I've seen, like Alicia Malone saw it at a festival a few weeks ago. She said, eh. She
you know
gave
what?
It an eh.
I believe her.
I believe her too.
Well, Jack Black's got a, you know, he had his bladder removed.
Oh, really? Why?
He had some issues with it.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, well, I don't think it looks very good.
I mean, they're trying
kids
to
might
be,
like it, though.
They're trying to, they're, you know, it's Halloween's coming up. They're mm-hmm. trying to stay in this market. They went from Hotel Transylvania's been doing so well.
Yeah, I can see that crowd liking this kind of movie.
Yeah,
especially with Halloween coming up.
I don't think it looks believable enough.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think
we'll
the
see.
Graphics are good. I don't think... Also, I'm not really sure. Are Goosebumps still popular?
That's a good question. I don't know. That is a good question. Like, we all know it because we grew up with it. But
yes.
Is it still? I think it has to still be around.
Like, because I feel like for the people I knew who grew up with mm-hmm. Goosebumps, unless they've had like a reimagining or reemerging now mm-hmm. for younger kids, no one I know who grew up with Goosebumps wants to go see this movie.
Mm.
Understood. Yeah, I know. But yeah, I guess.
It's very interesting.
Jack Black hasn't made a really good movie in a while either.
Yeah.
We will see. Well, also coming out is Bridge of Spies.
Here we go.
Yes.
I don't think this is wide, though. Is it wide? Or is it limited?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's wide.
Is it really wide?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
I have no internet.
I feel like for a Spielberg film, I almost didn't say his name right, Spielberg film mm-hmm. with Tom Hanks, I haven't heard a lot about this movie. I have
yeah.
seen some previews. But you think a Hanks-Spielberg combination would be a huge deal. I mean,
you usually do. You're right. It's not as there's not as much fanfare involved in this right now.
And it's not The Terminal. Like, it's not one of these
no.
small comedies.
That
this
was
is
terrible.
Like a World War... I think it's World War One or two.
Mm.
World War One spy thriller. Might be one.
It
I'm going to go one, everybody.
I mean, Spielberg's done everything on two. What else is there to do on World War II for
well,
Spielberg?
Well, it could be this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, listen, I'm going to see it.
It might be two because spies were like heavy. There's no spies in World War One.
No.
Maybe
okay, so maybe it was two.
Like,
it was definitely around the communism
Can
times.
We do a Google search?
Yeah, Alexis is on it.
Yes.
Google
search. She's our Dylan Esposito today.
Bridge of Spies.
Yeah.
You know, this. It's very interesting. This movie is coming out with not a lot of fanfare. It's the first Spielberg film also not to be scored by John Williams since The Color
That's
Purple.
That's right, because he's so busy doing Star Wars.
No, he had some kind of health issue or something like
well,
that.
Yeah, was that the health issue combined, I think, with the
probably
Star Wars
Probably because, Star Wars work probably drove him over
one
the
of
edge.
Those?
But
there
Williams
we,
is doing his next film, which is the BFG, the Big Freaking Giant.
And my what's your guys' favorite Tom Hanks role?
I discussed this on Schmo's Choice. I think his best performance might be from Philadelphia.
That's not bad.
I'm not saying it's the best movie, but it's his best performance.
I got a better one.
What's your better one?
Why don't you say yours first?
The first thing that comes to my mind is actually Big, but like...
I love Big,
love Big.
Mine was... Oh, go ahead, Sarah.
I was trying to read, let's see, about this. Bridge of Spies, 2015 American historical biographical dramatic thriller directed by Steven Spielberg and written by Matt Charman and Ethan Coen and Joel Coen. The film stars Tom Hanks is based on 1960 U2 incident.
Oh yeah, I know what that is.
So,
okay, so it was during the Cold War, I think.
Yeah, it's
it wasn't
Cold War
really
stuff,
about
so
during
not
the
real
World
War.
Wars.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Alan Alda's in it. I'm going to check it out.
It's all about the communists
in
the Cold War.
1960 U2 incident happened during the Cold War on May 1st, 1960, under the president Eisenhower. Yeah.
Basically,
so
a spy.
There's your context.
One of our spies was captured. One of their spies were captured.
It's Tom
Hanks.
Movie,
guys.
Yeah,
it's
Tom
Nikita
Hanks
Khrushchev.
Is trying to. What?
Nikita Khrushchev, the guy in Russia.
So Hanks is basically put in charge of doing this trade-off for one of their spies for one of our guys that got kidnapped. And he gets a lot of resistance from people because, like, how can you help a communist, all this, yada, yada, yada.
Sure.
I from people that I've heard have seen it, I've heard it's good, nothing great. But anytime Spielberg and Hanks are going to do something, I will be there weekend.
I agree. I will also see it.
Tom Hanks role.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, yes. Continue.
He was Uncle Ned on Family Ties.
Really?
Yeah. He played Alex's, like, drunk uncle.
No way.
And Alex looked up to him because he was, like, he spoke at the World Bank and all kinds of things. And then he got wasted, and then there was nothing to drink anymore, so he started drinking vanilla extract.
That's fascinating. I'm stopping you, because guess what? We have 3 minutes to take callers, talk about two more movies, and do predictions. We have to talk about The Room for about 10 seconds before we move on to Beasts of No Nation.
Real quick, Brie Larson, it's a small film that did crazy good at the festival. She plays a woman that's kidnapped.
Oh, The Room.
It's a woman that was kidnapped, like you hear in the news lately, that's basically is held in a room her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, while she was in that room, her abuser, you know, sexually abused her. She has a kid. The kid doesn't know anything about the world except for what's in this room. Mm-hmm. So she lies to him and tells him that this room is everything.
Jesus.
And then the movie is about them escaping and how the kid kind of reacts to being free finally.
That's crazy.
And it's told through flashbacks and flash forwards.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Well, this is also not to be confused with the masterpiece, The Room.
Yes.
But anyway, Brie Larson actually isolated herself in a room by herself for about a month.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
To like kind of get into that realm. I'm sure Dave Franco was really happy about that.
I mean,
she's not dating Dave Franco. No, Allison Brie.
We're about to start taking callers, but we need to talk real quick about Beasts of No Nation because it is coming through. So this is Netflix's breaking into original content.
A lot of issues with this.
Yes, but it is also getting a little bit of a theatrical release because if you have it needs it for any type of award contention. But people, I guess, in the theater system weren't that happy about bringing this movie to their theaters. It's been causing some tension in the industry. But on top of that, it has been getting good reviews.
Let's just say
people
this.
Are excited
My buddy
about
saw
seeing it.
It. Said it's the best movie of the year.
Idris Elba, fantastic actor. Mm-hmm. Two words. Corey Fukunaga.
Yep.
This is his first project off True Detective, which a lot of people call a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
Basically an 8-hour film. I also think this guy's first film, Sin Nombre, is a great film. It was my top 10 the year it came out. I am so excited to see this director tackle another feature film. Mm-hmm. And if the word of the mouth that I'm hearing is the same as you're hearing,
yes,
it's going to be huge.
I mean, I've heard that it's too. It's just interesting because this is not just a movie that's going to have an impact maybe on award season or notice. The film is not going to just interact with the public, but it could just mean really interesting things for the industry itself.
It'll be on Netflix, everybody, in a couple weeks.
It's a real interesting page turner. You know, to come out on Netflix, like you said, major theater chains are really not happy about this, and studios aren't happy about it either.
But check out the trailer, guys.
I predict the Oscar nod for
Idris Elba,
him, Fukunaga, whatever his name is, and possibly even the little kid.
Yes. All right. We're going to do predictions. I think we have to do predictions after callers,
What about the
guys?
Russian woodpecker?
All right, we'll do
the Russian woodpecker's coming out this week, too.
No, that's not on my list. It's not on my list.
I hear that. All right, I guess we'll do callers first.
We're going to do a caller before we do predictions.
Yeah.
So get your predictions.
We can run a couple minutes later.
This top five is going to be not easy.
No. Yeah, this is a difficult top five. All right. Do we have a caller on the line?
Who do we got?
Boss Tundra.
Yes,
the boss.
What's up, dude?
Boss. Who's the boss?
You got to call off Pizza Peak. I want to go see that movie this week.
Which one? Crimson Peak?
Yes, I want to go see it at the AMC Movie Theater. I'm going to check it out. I saw Pacific Rim on Baybox on tour. Pacific Rim is a good movie, though. So they're just going to do a sequel, but she got delayed, though.
Yeah, that's true. Gotcha. You're 100% right. So what, man? Look, hey, boss. The top five is tough this week. I mean, you know, let's
number one's going to be Goosebumps.
Wow. Ooh, that's okay.
All right.
Number two is going to be The Martian. Mm-hmm. Number two is going to be The Martian. It's going to drop to two. Number three is going to be Prison P.
That's not bad.
Mm-hmm. Number four is going to be Hotel Transylvania 2, and number five is going to be Pan.
Wow,
Peter Pan movie.
Okay.
Right.
Damn, that's a strong
list.
That's
strong. And you came out ready. Thank you.
That's good stuff.
I got one question to ask.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, the new Rocky movie comes out next month, Creed, right? I want to go see it.
Everyone's excited.
About it, right? You know, the problem about it is, it got to go up against all these other movies, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, look, I mean, Creed has its own.
It got to go up against The Hunger Games, Boxing Jay Part 2, the Seth Rogen, and still doing another comedy.
Yeah, but you know what, boss? This movie has
good dinosaur.
Boss.
And all
hold on,
James McAvoy, Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, you're right, boss. Hold on, real quick. Basically, all those movies don't have something that Creed does, and that is Stallone. That's big deal.
I think Creed probably will make probably like 35 million opening. I want to go see it on opening day. So
we're all going to see Creed too. So we're all with you on that.
Listen, it's hard. It's going to be hard not to put number one that weekend, but it's going to be tough. But,
yeah, it's true.
Thanks for the question, boss. You're awesome, thing, man.
Because all it is going to tear up anything.
That's true.
Yeah.
True.
Thank you for calling in.
Thanks, boss.
Right. Appreciate that.
Talk to you soon.
If we have another caller calling in right now, we can take them right away, or else we're going to have to go into our predictions. Yeah, thanks, boss. Yeah. So you had a pretty interesting top five.
Here's, before we do this, Alexis, can you validate how many theaters Bridge of Spies is going to be in, please?
Yeah, I can look it up right now.
Thanks.
All right. It'll be under, if you just go under Box Office Mojo, mm-hmm. It'll be in the right-hand column.
Because that's going to really sway my top five here.
It's tough.
Bridge of Spies?
Yeah.
Is going to stray your top five?
Yeah, because, look, it's a Spielberg film.
We'll
Spielberg
take this one Hanks. Caller yeah, right now and see who is on the line with us today.
Hi, it's Kristen.
Hey, Kristen.
Yes. Oh, nice. And Kristen Conte.
Yes. Oh, nice. You jumped over with us this Sunday. How do you feel about the Sunday? Is it better for you or no?
Oh, yeah, it's actually fine. I used to actually work on Monday, so I sometimes get to miss you guys. So mm-hmm. Now, since you guys are on Sunday, I can actually see you guys.
Beautiful. Awesome. Beautiful.
Do you want to give us a top five, or do you have a question today?
I'll do my top five.
Let's do it.
I think it's a really hard weekend.
It is.
So.
What do you think of the Boss Turner's top five?
I think it was okay.
Okay.
Again, it's a hard weekend, so.
Okay.
Boss versus Kristen. Let's do this. Okay. All right, let's hear it.
I am going to take a chance, and I really, really want to say Crimson Peak as number one.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. It is Halloween season.
I think it could do it.
That's true.
I'm not against that.
Okay.
Number two, The Martian.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Number three, Bridge of Spies.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, Goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
And number five, Hotel Transylvania.
I got to tell you, Kristen, I think Boss Turner might have you here.
Really?
Yeah.
So really, instead of us against them, we're just pitting Kristen against Boss Turner.
You know what we should do next couple of weeks? Or a new game would be interesting.
Fan versus fan?
Fan versus fan, yeah.
We will see. Thank you so much, Kristen, for calling. And we've got your list down. And thank you for making the change with us to Sundays.
Yes, we're going to send you some, Kristen. Kristen, I have some Point Break...
Point Break what?
Wife beaters, yeah.
Okay.
We'll figure something out.
Rocking the wife beater.
Thank you, Kristen.
Thanks, Kristen.
All right. Oh, we're looking.
Bye.
We're looking for the Bridge of Spies numbers. It's going to be, if you just go to boxofficemojo.com. Just the main page, not specifically Bridge of Spies. You have to go to the actual main page of Box Office Mojo. Let's do this.
Yep, there it is.
Coming soon, scroll down a little bit. It's on the right-hand side column.
Sarah knows her box office.
I know my
mojo.
Box office mojo. Go down, go down, go down. Please.
I really like Boss Turner's top five.
All right, Bridge of Spies is in 2,800 plus.
That's big. That's nationwide.
Crimson Peak is also 2,800 plus. Goosebumps is 3,300 plus, and Woodlawn is 1,500.
That must be a Jesus movie.
All right, let's do this.
Are we just counting it? Last time we did that, it was a bad move.
You don't hear from Jesus movies.
All right,
let's go. But they can bring in money. Let's go, you guys. We got to get out of here before we get kicked out of here. Jason, go ahead.
Damn, it's a tough one.
All right, this is tough. I am going to go with... Yeah, let's go Crimson Peak. It's Halloween season. I said it myself. Mm-hmm. I was at Halloween Horror Nights this weekend, mm-hmm. and Crimson Peak had one of the, maybe the longest line of all the other attractions. So I think people are excited to see it. So I'm going to go Crimson Peak.
I'm with you.
I'm going to stick with the Martian. I think even if it drops like, you know, another, I think it could only drop another like 30 to 40% and it still make close to 20 something million.
Yep.
Number three is going to be, oh, this is where I'm struggling between Bridge of Spies and Goosebumps. I guess I'm going to go Goosebumps, and that might be just me going back to my nostalgia for R.L. Stine. But I think that does have a lot of parents love those growing up, and they're going to take their kids to go see it. Number four, Bridge of Spies. No. Yeah, Hotel. Yes, Bridge of Spies. Number five, Hotel Transylvania.
Guys,
that was tough.
Isn't Steve Jobs expanding?
Not till October 23rd.
For sure?
Yes.
Even in L.A.?
Well, L.A., right. I might expand a little bit in L.A., but not enough to take these guys out.
Okay, we have to wrap, but... It's our go.
I am going to go with the Russian woodpecker at number one. No, I'm kidding.
No joking. Go.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to go with Goosebumps at number one.
Okay.
Wow.
Two, Crimson Peak. Three, The Martian. Four, Bridge of Spies. Five, Hotel Transylvania.
Hmm. All right.
Interesting.
I'm going with also Crimson Peak, number one, then going to The Martian, then going to Goosebumps, following it up with... Hotel Transylvania, and then ending with Bridge of Spies.
So you, four and five are different for you.
Yeah,
gotcha.
There we go.
Interesting.
Thank you all for watching us here on Box Office Breakdown. I apologize for their horrible jokes and my horrible reference to Pan and Disney.
Well, the monkey iceberg you guys, joke. You guys fantastic. Were,
the monkey,
that was awful.
I recovered great with the monkey and, taking over for the
an ass pass. I thought that was good too.
Was
thank
great.
You. We have to go. We're at Sarah Stratton. Out. Oh no, at. Sarah underscore Stress.
Yes. Sarah underscore. There's obviously a fake Sarah, but there's only could be one real Sarah.
At Shmoes JTE.
Yeah, at Bob Finstock. Let's go Mets.
Box Office Breakdown, Popcorn Talk Network. Rate, subscribe, do all that stuff, please.
And cue the music.
Poof.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.